The Holy Gospel today comes from the first chapter of Mark. As soon as Jesus and his disciples left the synagogue, they entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Now Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they told him about her at once. He came and took her by the hand and lifted her up. Then the fever left her, and she began to serve them. That evening at sunset, they brought to him all who were sick or possessed with demons, and the whole city was gathered around the door. And he cured many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons, and he would not permit the demons to speak because they knew him. In the morning, while it was still very dark, he got up and went out to a deserted place, and there he prayed. And Simon and his companions hunted for him. When they found him, they said to him, "Everyone is searching for you." He answered, "Let us go to the neighboring town so that I may proclaim the message there also, for that is what I came out to do." And he went throughout Galilee, proclaiming the message in their synagogues and casting out demons. This is the gospel of the Lord. Thanks be to God. You know, you're supposed to remember your baptism. I don't know if it's going to be in there or not. Yeah, I know. Is that sacrilegious? You can decide what you think about that, but you won't forget that. You know why PLU is the best school? Because I met my bride there. And I'm a suck up, but that's all right. So this text that I read today, I think it's the essence of everything. Well, that's what I think every time I read a text, I guess. But I think this is what it's all about. This captures the mystery of faith. You have Jesus here. He does some healing. He talks about healing. He talks about going out to proclaim the good news, which is about healing and making whole. And it captures kind of the mystery of our faith. And I think the mystery of our faith has to do with intimacy and going ahead. So this speaks about the intimacy, the part of Jesus. He came and took her by the hand and lifted her up. He came and took her by the hand. It's okay. And lifted her up. I was just giving an example. He came and took her by the hand and lifted her up. He came, lifted up. It's intimate. Like that. That's Jesus for us right now. Intimate. Lifted us up. The going ahead part, well, you know, we have the book, so we know how this story ends. And it actually ends in fear. Women were going to anoint Jesus, and Jesus wasn't there, and there was an angelic kind of figure and says, "Hey, what's going on? We're looking for Jesus, and he's not here." Yeah, that was the plan, the angel said. "He's gone on ahead, and we'll meet you there. Go. So you have this Jesus who is as intimate as can be. As intimate as you've ever been with anybody. Someone who loves you dearly and knows you and wants the best for you. And you have a Jesus who goes ahead and meets you simultaneously for everyone. For all of us, now and in the future. That, I believe, is the mystery of faith, that we carry those things. And it's for us all the time until our last breath. Until our last breath. So that's number one. Well, how does this faith work? I mean, how do we live out our faith? Now, I'll tell you in a second how it works for me, but the person who, the person who most faithfully showed this to me was a guy who his son, Jim, would push him in his wheelchair, and he'd sit in that corner right there every Sunday. I think he was here more Sundays than I was. Well, that's probably easy to do, but faithfully, and he would come up every time, same side, and he would receive the bread and the wine of communion. And he knew, and he lived to be 102. So I'm going to trust a 102-year-old on just about everything if they can articulate. And he could, to his last breath, he could articulate what he was thinking. Because every Sunday, after he took communion, and when he left, he'd go out the side there, and Jim, and, all right, Kurt, good to see you. We'll see you next week. He said, I hope so. Up to 102. I hope so. That was his faith. He knew. He knew it. He knew that intimacy of that bread and wine and his son and this community embracing him. And he knew that Jesus was going ahead, even to the beautiful age of 102. He knew. This is about miracles here, and it's about healing. And in fact, in another part of the gospel in chapter 6, look this up, there's some homework for you. Jesus sends out the 12 and does the same thing. He says, go and preach repentance. Turn to me. Turn to the intimacy, the immediacy of Jesus. Turn to me. And he tells them to cast out demons. I've given you authority to do that. Cast out demons, anoint people with oil, and heal people. And they did. That's what the disciples did. That's what we do as disciples. I think sometimes we want miracles and healing to be fantastic and miraculous. It's amazing, you know. And sometimes it's not like that. It's simply touching someone's hand and lifting them up. Sometimes it's as simple as that. But it turns out healing and miracles are temporary. Are temporary. Even the great Kurt Hammond knew that. At 102, he knew, well, this is temporary. But I know what's next. That was his hope. I know that Jesus is waiting for me after my last breath. You know, the world we live in, I was talking with my friend Pastor Dean, and he always has to give me the Lutheran approach because he knows, he's just always centers me. It's about grace, yes. And the world is broken. Now you can decide whether you think, is the world broken or not? It is. Let's just be clear, it is. From the beginning of creation, Adam and Eve were created, and they made a choice, and they realized they felt shame, and they were embarrassed when God came by. So from the moment, from the very beginning of creation, you have that aspect of, I'm not sure about myself, God. You know, now I know some things that you probably don't know. God knows. But you probably don't know, but I'm feeling shameful. So that, and then the next scene are two brothers who have a conflict. And there's murder. So conflict and shame are from the beginning. That's brokenness. But we can mend things. That's what healing is. That's what miracles are. When you have cancer and then you don't, your body is mended. I have two of my favorite shirts. I got these shirts from REI. They were $8 each on clearance and they fit me. So that's just a winning scenario automatically. But one of them now has a broken button. And it's been just hanging there. And I know there's a spare button, but I just have to acknowledge, all right, this is an old shirt. I probably should just retire it, but I'm going to fix it. I'm going to mend it. And that's what I believe miracles and healing are. It's mending so that we can get back and get back into the world. We sang a song, I'm gonna sit at the welcome table. Yes, yes, yes. The bass has got to say yes, 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 yes. and that's the power of song. That's another kind of miraculous healing moment. You can sing something that you can be as down as you want, but you hear a song and it sparks something. It sparks that miraculous healing power of Jesus, that intimacy, just from hearing something. You don't even have to sing it, because sometimes you can't sing, and others need to sing for you. That's part of the mystery of faith. The final piece has to do with two articles that I read in the recent Christian Century, side by side. One was about Jesus, and it's about resurrection, and the title is Resurrection is Communal. And the idea is, and this is from the Eastern Orthodox Church perspective. So Dominic Crossan went to the Eastern Orthodox churches in Turkey and Greece and looked all around and took some photos. And what he noticed was that in scenes of resurrection, the end of the gospel stories, Jesus in the Eastern Church is standing victorious. He has a staff that's in the shape of a cross, and on the ground you see these two doors that are just broken off and are in the form of a cross, and he's standing there rising up, anastasis, rising up. That's what resurrection is in the Greek word for that, rising up. And let me have your hand. He's pulling, in one scene, Adam, and in another scene, Eve, pulling them out of their resting place, which is Hades or hell. He's pulling them out. He's pulling them out. Even in death, he's pulling Adam and Eve out. And that's that visual of what resurrection means. That's what we can dump our lives and faith into, that scene of Jesus, even in death, out of death, pulling us out. So that's one article. The other article had to do with sexual offenders. And it's a church. Now, I'm not saying we should do this, so just let me be clear first before we go any further. I'm not saying we're this church. But what I'm saying is this article talked about a church that ministers to those who have been sexually offensive in societies. You know, they're registered sexual offenders. This is in Florida. Turns out in Florida, 96% of the places that you can live because of laws in Florida of where folks can live once they've been designated that category, there's no place to live. There's 4%. It's very difficult for someone who comes out of prison to be a human, a broken human somewhere on this earth. In Florida, very difficult, so they have homeless camps. So this church took it up as a ministry to say, hey, we're gonna minister to those who come out, who have sexually offended, have done those things, and we're going to offer them a place to stay, a place of community, a place of wholeness, of forgiveness, of mending, and that you are a child of God. You are a child of God like all of us. So that's this other article that was there. And then Pastor Beth, I was paying attention to her darn sermon last week, and she talked about Jesus and how Jesus says, get closer. Come closer. That's what service is about. It's about getting closer. Take a step. Don't be afraid. In our lives, in my life, at our previous church, we had a sexual offender in our congregation who we didn't know it until the offenses occurred and he went to jail. He happened to be our congregational president. He happened to be someone like David Nelson that I love dearly, like a father. And it turns out I didn't fully know him, and nobody fully knew who he was. And he made those choices, and he went to jail for 10 years. 68 years old, went to jail for 10 years, 78 years old. He just got out. Lives in Tacoma. Now, because Beth and I are pastors together, we've weathered some things that together as a couple, but as two pastors, we've weathered some storms that are pretty rocky in churches. That I promise you, it's a top three thing you don't want to experience as a church, when a major leader, all that happens. It's horrible. In fact, I was probably the only person really who spoke with Gary, is his name. I spoke with him and ministered with him till he went to jail. After that, we worked with the church, and I lost my faith. I lost my faith. If this happens here, and if, what's the point? What's the point? And I kind of faded away. I stopped being a pastor, and fortunately, because the mystery of the intimacy and the going aheadness of Jesus and of God and how it works, a chaplain position opened up because I needed to work. And in Aberdeen, there aren't a lot of jobs. You just hope for the best. And this half-time chaplaincy job opened up. And, you know, Beth was full-time then at the church. So I started working as a chaplain. And slowly, God reminded me that, Eric, you're a good person. You're a faithful person. And I'm still here. I know it's hard. Because just because there are miracles and just because there's faith, that doesn't always make life easy. Let me be very clear about that. I know it's hard, Eric, but I want to remind you, here's what it means to be a pastor. And so through being a chaplain and I became full-time, I started to remember, it's about this. It's about this. It's about receiving the intimacy and giving the intimacy. That's what it means to be a servant. And then I lost my job. I was laid off. I was like, oh, great. You're awesome, Jesus. Thanks. And then that's when Beth and I talked about, I talked about, okay, I'm ready to work again. And here we are. That's what, part of what brought us here. Now, I tell that long story about me because now, come 10 years later, in 2018, I have to, for my own personal sense, but I know for Gary's sense, I have to go see him. I have to go see him. Please stand. I know. And I have to hug him. And I have to tell him I love him. And I do, and it's going to be hard. It's going to be hard. But I know, as a person of faith, that Jesus has brought me here, and that Jesus is waiting there for that moment, because I know nobody else gives a damn about him. I know that. But I do, because I have to. That's just how I'm built. No matter how much hurt there is, I have to. That is the mystery of faith. That intimacy and that going ahead of Jesus. That's what it's about. And it's available for all of us. For all of us. And Kurt reminded me, for all of us. Until our last breath. Amen.